This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, guys? It's Braden Suprenant. I want to thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Braden Suprenant Show. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at B_SURP. And be sure to tune in every Sunday for the Braden Suprenant Show from 8 to 10 in the morning right here on 97.3 The Fan. Enjoy the show, guys.
San Diego.
Time to take your airwaves back from the usual weekend noise with some local sports talk on the Braden Suprenant Show.
With the stars that they have signed under contract, you can't just punt on a Manny Machado prime.
Sports radio catered to the ones who call America's finest city home.
Braden totally knows his stuff. He's ready for the next step. That guy is good.
The Braden Suprenant Show starts now.
But I think Braden's one of the up-and-coming young stars in the media game.
Here's your host, Braden Suprenant.
What's up, San Diego? Good morning to all of you out there. A chilly morning on a beautiful Sunday morning in America's finest city. I'm Braden Suprenant. This is the Braden Suprenant Show, taking up to 10 o'clock today. Live and local every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. Might be having some news on the show in the next couple of weeks or so. We might be pushing it back to 9 o'clock. And be a 9 to 11 show starting in the new year. We'll have more details on that later on as it starts to move about. Some other weekend programming might be coming to these airwaves, which is great to see for the station. But as of right now, still 8 to 10 here on a Sunday morning, talking everything in the world of sports, especially that pertains to San Diego. But today's a big day for all of you college football fans out there, and I would consider myself one of those fans. It's a college football playoff selection day. In about 58 minutes, they're going to start their, dog and pony show on ESPN, but we will know eventually after that who the 12 teams are going to be in the college football playoff. And we know who a couple of them already are going to be. A lot of it has to do with seeding, right? I mean, we know Oregon's going to be in it. We know Georgia's going to be in it. We know the conference champions of Arizona State and Boise State and Clemson, now after beating SMU last night by a field goal, we know that they're going to be in it. We know that Texas will be in it and Penn State and Notre Dame and Tennessee and Ohio State and Indiana, maybe Indiana. And maybe we know what a lot of those teams are going to be in the college football playoff. We don't know where the seedings are going to be. The fact that we're still kind of considering whether or not it's going to be SMU or Alabama, I think, is laughable. And I think this entire thing is laughable and really a sham, to be honest with you. And I remember saying that back in 2014 when Baylor and TCU got left out. Obviously, I'm biased in that particular situation, but that was the first level of this is all going to be a gigantic sham, isn't it? And people are starting to catch on. I mean, you're starting to actually see media members that don't work for the four-letter network talking about how ESPN has too much involvement in this college football playoff selection process. It's not the conspiracies anymore about how it's trying to find the best teams that give us the best ratings instead of just the teams that are the best who have proven it on the field in the college football playoff. So we got a lot of that to break down. I mean, it's funny, the discussions right now, it's whether or not it should be Alabama or SMU or South Carolina or Miami or Ole Miss. Nobody's talking about some of the teams that are just for sure foregone conclusions in the playoff. I mean, honestly, what has Texas done to deserve to be in the playoff over some of the schools that they are potentially going to leave out? I mean, look at the Texas Longhorns. They didn't play anybody in non-conference. They play the worst teams. They played the worst teams in the SEC in conference play, except for Georgia and A&M, and they went 1-2 against Georgia and A&M. They played three games against teams with a winning record in the SEC and went 1-2. Three teams. Everybody else was below 500, with the exception of Florida, who ended up pulling out a 4-4 year in the SEC. A little bit of difference between them and maybe even in Alabama. But then you look at Alabama, right, and everybody wants to talk about with Alabama. Well, you know, Alabama's really good. Alabama deserves to be in the playoff. Well, Alabama, aside from their logo that looks like the Atlanta Braves logo, what have they done to be in the playoff? I had this conversation, and I'm going to get it to some of the things that I did over the weekend here in a second. But I had this conversation yesterday with some of my brother's friends who are not necessarily into college football as much as they are into the NFL, about like teams that they would like to watch. Well, nobody wants to watch Arizona State play BYU or Arizona State play Iowa State like yesterday in the Big 12 playoff. And the reason for that, I was like, well, have you seen them play? And the answer was like, no, but it's Arizona State. It's just the stigma of the school and the school name of why nobody wants to watch them play. The same thing can be said about these other. Well, I want to watch Alabama. Well, I'd much rather watch Alabama play Notre Dame. Well, would you much rather watch those two teams play? Or would you rather watch their uniforms play? What are we talking about here? Because for anybody that watches college football, and Notre Dame and Alabama are good teams this year, but for anybody that watches college football knows there's better teams out there and there's good teams out there that don't get the benefit of the doubt, that don't get the credit because they don't have the correct logo or they don't come from the right conference. And everybody is so biased and brainwashed towards what they have been shown on television or what the media gives you that they don't want to give a chance to Arizona. Arizona State looked like a badass football team yesterday. As a Big 12 fan, obviously, again, I'm a little biased, but that was my first time I got to watch an Arizona State football game from start to finish. And I know Iowa State's all right. Iowa State did beat Iowa. Big bad Iowa from the big bad Big Ten. But you look at Scadabo for Arizona State, that guy is a house. That guy put on a show yesterday for the Sun Devils. Had a good offensive line. He can move the ball, ground and pound, flew around on defense. That looked like a good football team. That looked like a football team that deserved to be in the college football playoff. They're in because they won the Big 12. That looked like a football team that is better than Boise State. But even like Boise State gets that kind of recognition because they won the Fiesta Bowl and they were in a bunch of BCS games. You know, during the BCS era, they kind of get the benefit of the doubt with their logo. I mean, they beat Wyoming by a point. Arizona State beat Wyoming by 35 points. The Mountain West schedule is awful. I mean, how many times have we said on the airwaves here in San Diego? Nobody wants to watch the teams come to town when they play the Aztecs. And you start looking at some of the teams that Boise State has played. I mean, they did give Oregon a run for their money. I think that's valued. But when your best quality of your resume is you lost to Oregon close, it's not necessarily better than what Arizona State is. So there's a lot of different moving parts to this. I know what the ratings are, right? It's all about, you know, it's about the ratings a little bit. It's about eyeballs on TVs. Well, nobody wants to watch. Look at the, like, the arrogance and just from the SEC in general. We got guys like Cam Newton going, nobody wants to watch these two schools play. They all watch all the SEC school plays. Well, you play in the SEC, dude. And again, you're talking about the logos. You're not talking about the actual teams. I mean, watching the Texas-Georgia game yesterday. Watching those two teams play, and it was a close game. The game was good from this aspect. It went to overtime. It was close. It was back and forth. But sometimes, I mean, the level of play, you're sitting there watching, like, they're watching the quarterbacks play. I mean, Quinn Ewers is all right. Carson Beck is not very good. And that was before he got hurt. And then they brought in the backup, and he was okay. He just looked a little rattled that he had to go in. But I was watching the Georgia-Texas game going, these two teams are far superior than everybody else in college football. This conference is far superior than everybody else in college football. I think from top to bottom, they probably are the best conference. But at the same time, this like level of eliteness that they just on their high horse about, it's all relatively similar now to the rest of college football. Big Ten's got a couple of good teams at the top. Some really good teams. Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State. And after that, it's a lot of mid. I mean, Indiana, I think Indiana deserves to be in the playoff because they did it on the field. But Indiana, I mean, you can't tell me Indiana's like some great football team. I mean, if we're going to hold teams accountable for their schedule, hold everybody accountable for their schedule. I mean, why does Notre Dame get a pass? Notre Dame gets a pass, why? Because they were good in the 70s and the 80s? They've been on NBC forever. They have their own deal, right? Their own TV deal. That's why they can't join a conference. Because they don't want to give up their own TV deal. What has Notre Dame done? Notre Dame's best victory this year is Army. It's Army. I know Army's good. I know they won the American. But like you're talking about your best win being a ranked opponent in a group of six conference after you lost at home to Northern Illinois, which, by the way, everybody just seemed to forget about. With Notre Dame. That's just like that just never happened. Just never happened. Why does Notre Dame get a pass? I mean, there's so many of these I could just go through all through the entire deal. If we're going to punish SMU for not having that big marquee win, then you can't ignore it with all the other teams that are in front of them. You can't ignore it. I mean, look at some of these resumes of some of the schools. I mean, they're big wins. You're looking at, they're going like, what are you talking about? Notre Dame gets a pass. You know, Texas beat A&M, all right? That's kind of their biggest win of the year. But aside from that, if you want to know what teams they play, just look at the bottom of the SEC standings. You got schools like Ole Miss and South Carolina, you know, and they have to do this as a head coach. You can't sit there and be like, we don't deserve to be in the playoffs. You know, you're going to get fired. Like, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. Kentucky got one win in the SEC. It's the Ole Miss. Well, South Carolina lost to Alabama. I mean, if you want to talk about Alabama and SMU and which one deserves to be in, that's fine. But if you want to throw South Carolina in the mix because they just happen to play a lot better at the end of the season, I mean, give me a break, dude. They already lost to Alabama head-to-head. You're already eliminated. And the other school you lost to is Ole Miss. The other school you're potentially tied with to jump into a spot. Eliminate them from the get-go. You look at the AP Top 25. They dropped SMU four spots behind Alabama, the number 12 right now. If the AP poll was in charge of putting the playoff together, SMU would be out. Why does Alabama get the benefit of not having to play in the SEC championship game and SMU only gets the negative effect of playing in the ACC championship game, a game they lost by a field goal on a walk-off field goal? Let's find the, I mean, if we want to be honest about ourselves here, let's start being honest in every single category. The problem is it's almost an impossible task. That's why the college football playoff in general and just being picked by a committee, which, by the way, looking at the video of the committee sitting there watching those TVs, I've had a better setup in my college dorm than they had in their hotel with how they're watching ball games. But if you're telling me that we're going to rely on about 12 to 15 people that all have their own agendas in there as well. They say they don't. They all have their own ways, their own meanings, their own incentives, their own monetary incentives for the conferences that they're athletic directors for. But until you eliminate the human element, you're going to have this argument every single year. It's not going to matter how many teams are in it. It's not about the teams. It's never been about how many teams there are. It's been about the process of picking these games. You went from having poll members just pick a champion to a computer pick the best two teams and put them in a championship to then creating four teams, again, having people pick who they think the best four teams are, and then using BS too. Like Florida State last year couldn't get in because their quarterback got hurt. What's the deal with Carson Beck? What's the deal with Carson Beck? I mean, if Georgia lost yesterday, if they would have lost yesterday, they would have had three losses. And Carson Beck is hurt. Would they have been left out of the playoff? Quarterback's hurt. If Florida State, without their quarterback, is going to be valued differently than what they were with their quarterback last year, then why aren't you making the same argument for Arizona State, who has two losses, but one of them being in a game in which they didn't have their starting quarterback? Wouldn't that game be affected differently? Wouldn't you evaluate that game differently? The flip-flopping is what pisses people off. Flip-flopping of, like, the 13th data point's important. Now it's not. The flip-flopping of, you know, they don't have any big ranked wins until it's not, because it doesn't affect the teams that you want to put in. Really ridiculous. A lot of it's really ridiculous. Until you start putting together a playoff where teams are automatically qualified and then you seed it however you want, like the FCS does, you're going to be having this all the time. This is going to be a problem all the time. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. If you want to weigh in on the show, give us a phone call. You can put it in the YouTube chat. We also got voice messages that you can leave. So if you're listening on the app, on the Odyssey app, and you pull it up, and I can pull it up on my phone right now, pull up the Odyssey app, make sure I mute it so I don't hear myself twice on this, and then you click on 97.3 The Fan on the logo. It should be recently played stations for you, or in town. They like to do that in your location services. You'll have a listen live button, and right next to it will be send a voice message. If you click on send a voice message, allow the microphone, hold down the microphone, and you'll send a voice message right to my computer, and I can get in some of your content and stuff that you want to weigh in. It's really easy to do it. If you don't want to call in to the show and be on the air like that, at least you could find some way to record what you want to say and send it in. I'll get it played on the air, and we can talk about anything under the sun. We're going to talk a lot of college football. I was at the USD San Diego State game last night, Viejas Arena. Aztecs looked really good. USD gave them a valiant fight for most of the game. Things kind of unraveled. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, kind of the college basketball here in town. But aside from that, it's going to be mostly college football today. We'll kind of talk a little bit about the Padres if we have time with free agency. I mean, Willy Adames just signed with the Giants. He got a lot of money. I thought everybody was, you know, foregone conclusion that Ha-Sung Kim was going to go there. Willy Adames, does that open up Ha-Sung Kim to potentially return to the Padres on a make-good deal? Or does he go somewhere else? Did the Giants sign Ha-Sung Kim now that they have Willy Adames? I mean, you start going through some of the big signings. Padres not really throwing a lot of money around. I know we're kind of waiting for Juan Soto to get his deal where he can start evaluating a lot of other players. A lot of other players are like, forget that. We're just going to go sign right now. We get any of that news, we will pass it along to you as well. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. 1-800-919-0973. Talking college basketball in town. When we come back, be sure to get your voice messages in, as well as the Braden Soprenant Show, live and local each every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Braden's Apprenticeship live and local each every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. I'll be changing that around in the near future. But thanks again for making our morning a part of yours. Getting around, maybe going, getting some shopping done for the week early before everybody does that. Getting some supplies for your Sunday. Maybe you're getting locked in on this college football playoff selection show. It's going to come down in about 40, just under 40 minutes now. And we'll be live reacting to that on the air. And we'll get a lot of your thoughts. Again, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. If you want to leave a voice message, you can do that on the Odyssey app. I'll play that on the show. If not, you can tweet at me or, you know, message me on any of the social media devices. I'm on all of them. I'm not on Blue Sky. Just, you know, I don't want to add anymore. But at B_SURP, at BSERP. You can find me on X. /Twitter. You can find me on Instagram doing that. You can find me on TikTok and, you know, other social media platforms, B_SURP. You can also find my YouTube channel as well. But if you want to weigh into the show, at B_SURP, you can also use the Odyssey voice message feature on the Odyssey app. And you can traditionally call into the show. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now. Banna out in Spring Valley is joining us right now. Banna, what's going on? Banna in Spring Valley. Oh, no. There you go. Got you now.
All right. Sweet, sweet. Yeah, good morning, man. Went to the San Diego State game yesterday. It was a pretty competitive game. Had a couple questions. So I see Nick Boyd. He's really good with on ball and pick and roll. But I feel Dutcher, we have a lot of stagnant players on offense. Would you think we should run more pick and roll with Nick Boyd, kind of get the offense moving? Because I'm seeing guys on the wing standing. I know we're missing Reese Waters and a couple other wing guys. But what is your idea on that? You think Nick Boyd should have more control of our offense?
I think it'd be nice to see, but you know, with Dutch and those and what they have done, I mean, it's been a lot of, it's very, you know, static and letting guys just kind of take over games. When San Diego State has had really good teams, they've had at least one big guy that has been able to take over games. The other thing, too, is, you know, yesterday, Magoon Gwath, he got hurt early in that contest, and they put him back in a little bit, and then he missed almost the majority of that game. And I don't know if they're trying to hold him out, you know, as a precaution. I mean, they obviously didn't need Gwath yesterday against USD, but that was a little concerning. You know, Bird was a little... you know, he was a little shaken up too, but, you know, I think with the Aztecs and just the depth that they have, they can run a lot of that stuff and they can move guys around. And, you know, I know they got to, it's hard because you're trying to keep everybody there and you got to spread some of the love, with San Diego State's basketball, team, but they got a lot of good players and they can move the ball around. I wouldn't mind seeing Dutch and those guys open it up a little bit, but that was pretty, I thought USD gave them a lot of different, looks and gave them the best fight that they could yesterday. You know, it was good for San Diego. I don't know. It was a little concerning for the Aztecs for a little bit, but I'm glad that they were able to, pull ahead and win and cover what they needed to cover, for all the analytical purposes.
Yeah, man, I was very surprised. That number 5 for USD was on fire. He hit like 3 threes in a row, came back with a couple more in the second half. So, very competitive game. Just hope Reese Waters gets back soon and we keep playing great.
Yeah, I think they're going to. You know, Benji Pierre is who you're talking about, number 5 for USD. And man, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks again. That was his first 3-pointer of the year. I mean, Benji Pierre, he was on fire last night for the Toreros. On fire. I couldn't believe I ended up hitting 5 threes yesterday. And if it wasn't for Benji Friere hitting some threes, man, who knows what the score could have potentially been. I mean, he kept trading blows with the Aztecs, and Benji Friere, a guy that, you know, missed significant time for the Toreros with an injury, finally getting able to get back this year and playing, you know, getting some good playing time and really settling in. And that was a great bright spot for USD. I mean, they had a lot of good bright spots there for the Toreros. And, you know, that's a great game. And I know it's not super beneficial for the Aztecs to play that game. And if I'm San Diego State, I mean, I would never try to play that game unless it was a big benefit to me. And, you know, I know San Diego wants to get to a point where they could play that game every year, and UCSD can play, and all three of the teams in town could play each other every year and have it be beneficial for everybody. And San Diego's trying to work to a spot where they could do that. Right now, UCSD is doing a really good job. The Tritons are on the up. I think they're going to give a lot of Big West schools a run for their money. I think they, you know, are going to be in the conversation for a Big West title in college basketball, and they're up to that level. They're spending a lot of money on their program. They're doing a great job with their media and everything. So I could see UCSD being, they're not too far off of being a team that is going to help San Diego State's metrics when they play them, win or lose. Now you just got to get USD to be in that spot, and we could have the three teams in town. I mean, I know it'd be cool to kind of have a four-team San Diego tournament with USD, San Diego State, and UCSD, the kind of little round robin. They all play each other, mixed in with Point Loma Nazarene, just to showcase the college basketball here in town, because we got some really good college basketball here in San Diego. But appreciate the phone call from Banna out in Spring Valley. Again, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, I'm going to tell you who I would have in the college football playoff, and then we're getting close. I mean, we're right there, and ready to start breaking potential playoff matchups and seeds as we get closer and closer to the selection show coming up at 9 o'clock. I'm going to take you to the 10 o'clock hour. Of course, we'll try to get in some NFL after the college football playoff announces who their 12 schools are going to be. And we had a big day for the Aztecs on Friday. I mean, we're talking about Aztec basketball. Looked really good. I mean, they're top 25 in the country. But what Sean Lewis did on Friday to get in the right direction again with San Diego State, I think Friday was a big day for the Aztecs, and I'll tell you what that is and why when we come back on the Braden Soprano Show, live and local each every Sunday morning from 8 to 10, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Braden Soprano Show, live and local each every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. Thanks again for making our morning a part of yours. Talking a lot of college football today. Under 30 minutes to go before the college football playoff ranking review. We get to listen to these guys give us some BS reason why certain teams are in certain spots. We're going to go through all of that here in just a little bit. Again, if you want to weigh in on the show, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I don't want to talk about San Diego State to pay off the tees. I think the Aztecs had a great day on Friday. And on Friday, it wasn't a big recruiting day. It wasn't National Letter of Intent Day. It was not signing day. But Friday, a lot of the captains and a lot of the impact players and some of the older players for San Diego State that have the ability and had the ability to test their waters in the open market on the transfer portal decided to come back for another year. And the one that was the biggest, obviously, was Trey White, right? Trey White had a great year for San Diego State, playing defensive line, a local product out of East Lake High School. His family is here. He loves being in San Diego. And hopefully the Aztecs and Aztecs Link and their NIL and everything like that was able to get him enough money to stay here on his own. But he's decided to stay and be an Aztec. That is huge news. Ross Masauli did the same thing. Another local product for San Diego State. Tano Latuli did. And then it was started to reek through all of these, you know, kind of veteran leaders on this Aztec team that all individually played well enough where they were going to get some offers in the transfer portal. And instead, they're staying at San Diego State. I thought that was big part, number one. Number two, regardless of the outcome of the game on Friday night, the Mountain West Championship game was a play-in game for the college football playoff. And that is huge on a lot of different levels. I mean, one, if they continue to go down this path of having automatic qualifiers with the five conference champions, they might change that when after these rankings come out, which would totally, you know, be ridiculous. But they're not going to change anything until after 2026. So next year is an open opportunity for the Aztecs. But it just goes to show that the Mountain West, after all of the other conferences in the group of six, had their top teams go up to Power Five, the Mountain West right now is the best out of the group of six, probably. It's better than the American. They're getting more clout than the American is because the American champ is nowhere near where Boise State and UNLV were for that game. And that was going to be a win and in. If UNLV won, they'd be in the playoff right now. They'd be a 12 seed, but they'd be in the playoff. I mean, it paves a path for San Diego State. And that's in the old Mountain West. Who knows what it's going to be like in the new Pac-12? You eliminate, and again, I think the move to the Pac-12 is not as great as maybe San Diego State does. I think it's slightly better. But you look at the new college football landscape's always ever-changing. You look at the new Pac-12, it's going to be better than the current Mountain West because all the best Mountain West schools are going to get up in the Pac-12 with Washington State and Oregon State. It's already going to be a better conference. So that's going to be better than what's left of the Mountain West, which is already better than the American and all the other conferences out there. There's a path for San Diego State to make the college football playoff. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be a guarantee, but there is a path there, which I think is good news for the Aztecs. So Friday was a good day for San Diego State when it comes to football. They got to keep a lot of players, and we'll see what they do in the transfer portal. You got to give Sean Lewis some time. And if he's able to pick up some transfers and some bounce backs for the Power Five, you know, this Aztec team has a path now to the college football playoff in future years. In a scary environment for a program like San Diego State. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Want to get to your phone calls again before I kind of lay out how I would view or how I would put together the college football playoff in terms of the 12 teams this year. Let's go out to the East Coast. A West Coast guy at heart out on the East Coast, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
Hey, well, she's a woman. How you doing, Brandon? How you doing? Hope you had a good holiday. Thanksgiving, happy holidays.
Yeah, absolutely, Mitch. Hopefully you and your family had a good holiday as well.
I hate it with Bill Levis' kind. They have to have drama, controversy. I think 12 teams is enough. So a few teams, you know, you got to win your conference. I can't wait for the new Pac-12 to go. The game with Texas. I hope Texas, when they're talking about Alabama, I hope they should let Texas in, even though Texas shot themselves in the foot. When you say, I mean, it's disappointing with Keenan Ewers. He didn't play like a top five pick. He might transfer, or he might not be in the first round. And disappointed with USC's recruit. And they better do better with the portal, the free agency of college football, which is better than baseball and football.
Well, especially with SC, Mitch. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're looking at Oregon being able to win the championship of the Big Ten, and Oregon gets a bunch of guys from Southern California that USC and UCLA used to get before the Trojans. I mean, right now, you go 6-6 and you're not one of the best in recruiting, and you didn't, you know, that fence around Southern California has been infiltrated, and all those guys from the Trinity League of St. John Bosco and Modern Day and Orange Lutheran and Jay Sarah are all going all over the place instead of staying in your backyard. I mean, the other one, I mean, if you look at Madden Foramo, who was a San Diego kid, I got to coach at Cathedral, ended up going to Jay Sarah. One of the best linebackers in the country. And in fact, if you took his measurables and what his combine drill stats are, he'd be the sixth best linebacker in this year's draft. I mean, he's just a phenom athlete.
Yeah.
And he was between Notre Dame and SC, and he picked Notre Dame. I mean, that's where SC is right now. And when you coach in high school football here in town, I mean, SC does not have the same kind of swag and moniker to a lot of kids in Southern California as it did back in the early 2000s?
Well, Lincoln Riley, he should know where Pete Carroll is teaching, because I think Pete Carroll could just take what Pete Carroll did, and he took off an NFL for a few reasons. We can't say on the air here, but now that's legal. And what Reggie Bush did, that will be okay now, I think. I could be mistaken.
Well, look at SMU, right? I mean, SMU put a lot of money into it. Mitch, I appreciate the phone call. Have a good holidays again. It's funny. It's like everything that they got in trouble for, them and SMU, is like all legal now with some of the money and everything like that. But, I mean, to have the resources of Los Angeles, and when they brought in Lincoln Riley, I thought for sure they would be able to just load up and get after it. And they haven't. And if it doesn't work with Lincoln Riley, and I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all, but again, I mean, SC has just been struggling the last decade or so and just trying to be relevant on the West Coast when it comes to college, or being relevant in college football. You know, with Caleb Williams, they were relevant, right, because he was a Heisman winner and candidate for 2 years, and they had good teams, but they weren't, like, good enough to be in a national championship consideration. I mean, they need to be in the national championship consideration to be a program like USC. And they're not. And you see it with recruiting. I mean, I see all these kids all the time. I mean, like, while coaching for not only the school I coach at in high school, but the schools that we go against. And all these kids have all their bags and their the biggest thing is the lanyards of all of the schools that they go do these camps at and stuff like that. They're not wearing a lot of SC gear anymore. It's a lot of Oregon. It's a lot of SEC schools. You know, it's the Ohio States. It's the Penn States. It's Oregon. It's Washington. You know, those are the schools that these kids are the gear that they're wearing. It's the schools that make the college football playoff. You know what it is? Also, it's the schools that have just insane college-level atmospheres, too. And that's a big thing. Kids like playing in big games. They like playing in fun environments. They like playing in places where it means a lot. And on the West Coast, it's just a hard sell. College athletics on the West Coast is such a hard sell. I mean, Aztec basketball last week beats Fresno State. They win last night over, you know, Crosstown USD. They're ranked in the top 25. Had a great tournament in Vegas. And one of the schools that they beat the number one team in the country. We didn't even talk about it on the air. It's hard on the West Coast. The West Coast is not it's the same with the Northeast. I don't want to bash on my side of the country here, where I'm born and raised, but college athletics is not as popular on the coasts. It's more of professional sports environments. So people on the coast, not a lot of people on the coast are born and raised on the East and West Coast. And I'm talking like Northeast. I'm not talking about the South. The South is different. That's its own little animal. But a lot of the people that live here in Southern California and in San Diego are not from here. Nor did they go to school here. So why would they care about some of the local college teams, right? It's hard. It's a hard sell. And SC is finding that the hard way right now. Let's talk about the college football playoff and what they're going to do. What they're going to do and what I think they do and what I think they should do. And the thing that gets me with the college football playoff all the time is the changing of, like, what metrics are important and what ones aren't. And it's a year-to-year basis. It just kind of depends on what some of the big schools are doing. You know, some years strength of schedule is really big. Some years it's not. Some years it's the 13th data point. You know, winning a conference championship is important. Some years it's not. The years that's important are the years where Ohio State needs to win the conference championship to make the playoff. The years it's not, years Penn State wins the conference championship and Ohio State, you know, didn't even make the conference championship. The changing of the metrics drives me nuts with this thing. You know, quality losses, quality wins, moral victories. all back and forth. Let's talk about the easy part. Number one seed is going to be Oregon. That's not even going to be like that big of a contest, right? That's probably not a lot of debate. I'm sure the committee will be like, well, you know, we talked about it and whatever, just to save face. Oregon's locked in at one. I mean, you're not messing that one up. They're going to get the one seed. They're going to have a first round bye. They're going to be playing at the Rose Bowl. Number two, I think it's very safe to say that Georgia will be number two, as in the number two seed. You know, whether or not Notre Dame's the second-ranked team, who cares about that portion anyway? Just give me the seeds at this point. I don't really care how they're ranked. We can kind of figure it out when you see the number five team and the first team that's not a conference champion. But to me, the two seed is Georgia. They win the SEC. They had a couple of losses. They beat the only team in the SEC that was their challenge, the only challenger, really, in Texas. And they beat them twice. I mean, Texas didn't lose a single game all year except to Georgia. 11-0 against everybody else, 0-2 against Georgia. So Georgia comes in at number two to me in the two seed. Here's where it gets interesting. Your last three teams are going to make it as conference champions or Arizona State, the champion of the Big 12, the champion of the ACC, and the champion of the ACC. Or sorry, the Mountain West. And how I evaluate those, I'm not a power conference guy over the little guy mentality. But you start looking at what Boise State did. I mean, their biggest win of the year. Look at Boise State's schedule. Their best notion of the year is losing to Oregon by three. Their best data point. Well, we lost to Oregon at Oregon by three. Their best win is UNLV. They beat UNLV twice. They beat UNLV 29-24 and 21-7. UNLV lost to Syracuse. That's their best win. They have no ranked wins. Boise State, in a non-power conference, has no ranked wins. And their schedule is Georgia Southern, lost to Oregon. I mean, the biggest thing for Boise State is they lost to Oregon by three, second week of the year. But if we're going on that metric, Idaho should be considered in the college football playoff then as an FCS school because they went toe-to-toe with Oregon as well in the first week of the season. Georgia Southern, Portland State, Washington State that just fell off the earth at the end of the season. Utah State, Hawaii, UNLV, San Diego State. I mean, some of these schools you watched in person here at Snapdragon Stadium, they're not very good. Nevada, San Jose State, they beat Wyoming by four. Out of all the games between Boise State and Arizona State, the one that's common is Wyoming. Arizona State killed Wyoming. Arizona State, and granted, this was the beginning of the year compared to end of the year. Arizona State beat Wyoming 48-7, and Boise State beat Wyoming by 1 point. They beat them 17-13. They beat them by four. So why does Boise State get the three seed? I don't think they do. Whether or not the college football playoff gives them that or not, I wouldn't. I'd give Arizona State the three. I'd give Boise State the four. I still think they deserve a bye over Clemson with three losses that won the ACC championship. So I go Oregon one. I go Georgia two. I go Arizona State three. I got Boise State four. I think Texas deserves the five. You know, they have two losses. Notre Dame has one. The two losses for Texas came to Georgia. And the one loss for Notre Dame came to Northern Illinois, who we apparently have just absolutely forgotten about that game ever happening. And they lost it at home. I'll take Texas 5. I'd take Notre Dame 6, I guess. I mean, I'm not impressed with Notre Dame. I've never really been impressed with Notre Dame. I know they're 11-1, but if you start going through their wins and losses, I mean, their best win is Army right now. They beat Army 49-14. I know they beat A&M the first week of the season, but it's like they played Purdue and Miami of Ohio. Louisville, who was ranked when they played them, is not ranked anymore. You know, I guess they beat Georgia Tech, who went toe-to-toe with Georgia. I mean, Florida State, Virginia, SC's lousy. Navy, I know Navy was ranked. I mean, that's one of their ranked wins. I don't know why we got to give Notre Dame the benefit of the doubt every time. I'd have Texas 5. I'd have Notre Dame as a 6 seed. And then this is where it gets interesting, right? To me, the Penn State, Tennessee, and Ohio State spot is very interesting to me. Because Penn State, Ohio State, and Tennessee. These are like the three teams that I think you can rank in all different levels. You know, I don't think Penn State should be punished for having to play an extra game. I really don't. I mean, they got to go to the conference championship game. Ohio State was not there. But to me, with Penn State, it's like all of a sudden they got a loss now. And they played Ohio State, and Ohio State beat them with the same amount of losses. Shouldn't Ohio State be ranked in front of Penn State? They played head-to-head. But then that would be punishing Penn State for playing an extra game. It would have been better for Penn State to not be there. Like, what if Ohio State was able to make it with two losses? They lost to Michigan still. They still made the Big Ten championship, and they lost to Oregon. They have three losses now. You know, they drop out? Probably not. So from that logic, I put Penn State 7. I look at Tennessee and Ohio State, and I find it very similar. I find it very similar in what they've done. I mean, you know, Ohio State's big win was at Penn State. Tennessee had a big win at Oklahoma at the time. It was ranked 15th. You know, they beat Alabama. They lost to Georgia by a little bit, but that's their losses at Georgia and Arkansas. Ohio State's losses on the year to Oregon, a really good team, obviously the number one team in the country, and then to a bad Michigan team at home. It's the same team. Tennessee and Ohio State, same team. Bad loss to Arkansas and Michigan, good loss to Oregon and Georgia, and a good win, Penn State and Alabama. I think it's very similar. Everybody always gives Ohio State the benefit of the doubt. I'd probably go Tennessee 8. Ohio State 9. I think Indiana deserves to be in it for what they have done. I don't think their schedule's very good, but I'd have them 10. Clemson's probably 11 now. I think they have to flip-flop them with SMU. But I don't think you can knock SMU out for, again, playing an extra game. They had to play an extra game. That's how I'd do it. Oregon, Georgia, Arizona State, Boise State, Texas, Notre Dame, Penn State, Tennessee, Ohio State, Indiana, Clemson, and SMU. That would be my 12. I don't think it's going to be like that, but we're going to find out when we come back. Who's in the college football playoff? My live reactions next on the Braden Suprenant Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks again for downloading the episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to follow me on social media at @B_SURP. Subscribe on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to tune in to the Braden Suprenant Show each and every Sunday from 8 to 10 in the morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.